You know, for centuries, people have talked about or referred to the Golden Rule. I dare say that there are few young people who have been to Sunday school who could not give from memory the Golden Rule. Sometimes we give it in the shorter form of 11 words, do you unto others as you would have them do unto you. Many times we can recite it in its complete form of Matthew 7 and verse 12. All things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, these 27 words as spoken by our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount really carry a world of meaning for us today. I think there's a lifetime of struggle in these words for most of us. What I want us to do briefly tonight in our study is to observe three other rules by which people in our world today can live. And then I want to compare these rules to the ultimate rule of all rules. These are just simply expressions of philosophies of life that I believe are known to all of us. The first of these is going to be the iron rule. The second's going to be the brass rule. The third will be the silver rule. First of all, let's look at the iron rule. The iron rule, simply stated, is this: do unto others what you would not want them to do unto you. This is the pagan law of life. We might call it the law of the jungle. It's viciously doing to the other person whatever you want, whatever you wish, whatever you desire, as long as it serves your own interest and your own purpose, with no real concern at all for the welfare and the desire of the other person. This was the rule of Nero when he was a tyrant in Rome, ruling in the ancient world. A little later, it was the rule of the pagans that they used when they sacked and burned Rome. They were simply doing unto others what they would never want others to do unto them. This is the rule of all dictatorships, whether you think about modern times or ancient times. It's selfish, self-centered rule. It has absolutely no thought for the sufferings and the wishes of others. It contains absolutely no moral or ethical principles whatsoever. There's no concern for what's right or wrong. It's simply, as we've said, the law of the jungle. And sadly and unfortunately, there's still many people in our world that live according to this iron rule. Oftentimes we see it on the news, don't we, in other countries, particularly third world countries, where those that are in charge, those who run the country, are very wealthy, they're very prominent, they're very blessed, while most of the citizens of those countries are very, very poor, if not living in poverty itself. You think about the bully when you think about the iron rule. We hear a lot today about cyberbullying. We've seen stories on the news that can scare us to death about young people, even as early as 8, 9, or 10 years old, who have made the poor decision to take their own life because they were bullied by their peers online and at school. You see, it's the brass rule. It's the law of the jungle. We also think about some examples of the iron rule in the Bible. I think about Ahab and Jezebel, two of the most wicked individuals who ever walked on the face of this earth. You see, Ahab, as the king, had the power to take that little vineyard that was near his property that he could not buy, that was not for sale. And with Jezebel's help, he planned, he schemed, he plotted, And he finally had Naboth murdered in cold blood that he might take that vineyard for himself. You see, that is the law of iron. And it's been with people from almost the very beginning of time. You know, in that ancient day when Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel, that law of iron had its beginning. Or today you think about in our modern world, the one who lies, the one who steals, the one who commits murder. You think about the pedophile. We think about what's happened with that young lady in Auburn that's been missing for several weeks, and many other victims such as her. All these are simply people who've been plagued by the law of brass. Somebody viciously doing unto them what they would never, ever want done unto them. But fortunately for mankind, there are higher rules, and there are many, many people who seek to abandon this law of iron to live on a higher level. Now, the second rule tonight is the rule of brass. And that rule simply states, do unto others as they would do unto you. This is simply the rule of man's humanity. It's the kind of life that people would live today if they were never instructed, if they were never taught, if they were just allowed to live the way that is easiest and most natural. And it's somewhat higher than the rule of iron. It just simply means that if somebody smiles at you, you smile back. Somebody says a good word to you, you say a good word back. Or if somebody growls at you, then you growl back at them. It's very common in our modern world. There are a great many people, we know these people, that would never go out and viciously harm another individual. But you let that individual indicate some kind of harm to them, and then all of a sudden their feelings are aroused and they're ready to go to battle. Sometimes you see this rule in play, maybe when there's a slight brush in traffic. One person gets out and they say, you know, why didn't you look where you were going? The other person, normally calm and reserved, may say, well, why didn't you watch the speed limit? Then all of a sudden there ensues a conversation. Angry words are exchanged, of which both parties are ashamed of at the end of the day. And of course, sadly, many times it goes even further, as we've seen the stories on the news of road rage where somebody just cuts another person off in traffic and they pull a gun and do harm, or at least try to do harm, to the other individual that's there. Now, a great many people will answer in kind. If there is kindness, they are kind. If there's animosity or hatred, then they pay back in good measure. This is simply the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It was a law that was instituted in the ancient past when there was no police system, when there was no means of protecting property and life. It's simply good for good and evil for evil. It is sub-Christian. And Christ does not permit His people to live by this law of brass. I want to read just a couple of passages in the New Testament. In the book of Romans, the final paragraph of chapter 12 deals specifically with this law of brass. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Render to no man evil for evil. Take thoughts for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongs to Him. I will recompense, saith the Lord. But if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul says emphatically here that we as God's people cannot live according to this law of brass. You know, in our scripture reading tonight, in Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 48, Jesus also dealt with this subject. Jesus talked about how that we need to love our enemies, how we need to bless those that would persecute us, that we need to do good to those that would hate us and abuse us and misuse us. Because when we return good for evil, we are being like our Father in heaven. And we also think about some examples in the Bible of people who chose not to live by this brass rule. Over in the book of Acts chapter 7, we read about a negative example of this brass rule. In the last paragraph of Acts chapter 7, we read the conclusion there of Stephen's sermon. Stephen made it clear to those people. He said, "Your fathers persecuted the prophets that foretold the coming of the just one Jesus Christ, of whom you have now become the betrayers and the murderers." He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." And they couldn't stand that kind of preaching. And the Bible says that they reacted violently and they dragged Stephen out of the city and they stoned Stephen, calling upon the name of the Lord, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And when Stephen had kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And then he died. Now, I want to ask you tonight, can you imagine an individual, even in the act of being stoned to death, so completely master the principle, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that he could actually say with his last breath, "Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge"? Reminds us of what we read about Jesus, doesn't it? When he hung on that old rugged cross. And as our Lord was about to die in Luke 23 and 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so it's very common in our world today that if somebody wrongs us, then we have the right to retaliate and do wrong in return. It's the rule of brass, but it's not the rule of God. Climbing still higher, though, is the third rule, and that is the silver rule. The silver rule, simply stated, is, do not do unto others what you would not want them to do unto you. This is the rule of civilization, and it's a great deal above the pagan rule of iron and the human rule of repayment in kind. The silver rule means that there would be no murder. The silver rule means that there would be no stealing. There would be no lying. It means that we would refrain from everything that would hurt somebody else. But unfortunately, the silver rule stops right there. It also means that there would be no hospitals. It means that there would be no more schools. There would be no orphans' homes. There would be no homes for the aged who have no family to provide for them. You see, the silver rule is completely passive. It says not to do harm, but it's absolutely silent on doing good. But you know, the silver rule is a rule that a great many people around us today have found to be satisfactory for their lives. All up and down the streets and towns of America, there are families that are resolved never to do any harm at all. And they don't. They violate none of the laws of the land. They're not immoral. They're not dishonest. They're not deceitful. But by the same breath, we must say that they're not active in caring for the needy or doing any good at all. They are respectable families that own their own homes. They drive good cars. They pay their debts. They are good citizens. But somehow they never got the message that Jesus Christ wants more than that. That He wants us to be people that go out and do good and make a difference. But already tonight, as we close, we've indicated that the golden rule is God's way. The pagan rule gives way to the human rule. The human rule gives way to the rule of civilization, and the rule of civilization gives way to this rule of Christ. The golden rule is the Christian rule. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. I like it the way it's stated in its longer form in Matthew 7 and verse 12. And not just a few things in life are involved, but we need to understand that all things of life encompass this rule. We need to remember that all things, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. You see, this is the answer to the biggest problem that our earth faces. The problem of man's inhumanity to man. The problem of human relations. You know, if there's strife and contention and upheaval anywhere in our world, it could be solved very simply if one did for each other like they would want the other person to do unto them. You think about people in business or an industry. You think about neighbors in a neighborhood or your neighbor across the street. Or you think about problems that come up in families with relatives. All problems of human relationships are very possible a solution if we could ever come to the place that we do for the other person like we would want him to do unto us. This is the law of Christ, and it's a very old law. For 2,000 years, this great law has been announced, and yet it still hasn't really been lived in a very large and conspicuous manner. You know, there are passages of Scripture, I believe, that emphasize this golden rule. I think about Luke 14, verse 12. You know, Jesus tells us here that when we make a feast, we shouldn't invite our relatives. We shouldn't invite our good friends or those that are rich and wealthy. But instead, when we make a meal, when we make a feast, we need to invite the maimed. We need to invite the poor. We need to invite the blind. We need to invite those people that could never recompense us. But think also of the last paragraph of the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, where Dorcas is described as having died. And she left behind garments that she had made for the poor. Or think about the 13th chapter of the book of Acts and those chapters that follow. Think about Paul and Barnabas and Silas and others who spent hours and days, weeks, months, and years traveling over difficult territory, facing strange and difficult situations in order to take the gospel of salvation to pagans that didn't even know they needed the gospel. You see, the golden rule simply says that whatever you would wish that others should do to you, if you were in that their place, you start the whole process by going and doing it for them. And so Paul went to Philippi, even though those people did not even know they needed a Savior. Paul stood on Mars Hill and he said some things that weren't very popular to those pagan Athenians. But Paul was simply doing for others what he would want others to do for him. And so Christianity then is going out and doing for others whatever we would want done for us if our roles were reversed. And so as I close tonight, I ask you this question. Of these four rules, which one would best fit your life? If you had to choose one of these rules tonight and say, this is most nearly like my life, which would it be? You know, a great many people live according to the brass rule. They're good when they're around good people. They're not so good when they're around not so good people. A great many people are good up to the point of not hurting anybody, of not doing any harm. But neither do they do anything that's positive and constructive. Is that us today? I certainly hope not. You see, as Christians, I think all of us today are pledged to live the way of Christ. And my prayer and my challenge for you tonight is that we'll continue to grow and that we'll continue to make more and more progress toward living by that golden rule. And then we'll drop less and less back to these lower levels. You see, Christianity is the only life that can bring true joy and satisfaction and happiness, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. I hope tonight that you're a Christian. And if you are a Christian tonight, I hope you are striving with all of your might to live according to that golden rule. By living according to the golden rule, you can let your light shine. You can bring glory and honor to God every day as people look at your life and they observe that you don't live according to the standards of this world. Or maybe you're not a Christian tonight. Maybe you need to make that decision to come and obey the gospel, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you begin to grow into the likeness of Christ. Tonight, if you need to respond to heaven's call, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.